Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week I've got Trevor Camp,
aka Better Dalton,
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kenway. Yeah, Dalton couldn't be here. He had work stuff to do, so I requested the company of Better Dalton.
You are all welcome.
The big T,
yeah,
if you will, Trevor Camp. So, all right, let's get on with this here show and some of the nerdy stuff. Lion King, that awesome remake that I still haven't seen, I really want to, is now the highest grossing animated movie of all time at $1.335 billion. Worldwide.
So what did it beat out?
Frozen.
Yeah, I believe that.
At $1.277 billion.
Yeah, I 100% believe that, actually. Is it the nostalgia it's selling it on, or is it literally that good? Because I haven't seen it.
I've heard it's phenomenal. I mean, Jon Favreau is directing it. Like, the voice cast is bonkers great. I want to see it. I just have not had... this past Sunday, I probably could have. But since the movie came out, that's the first like morning that I've had free that I could have gone and seen it, because I've just been doing so much other crap in the last like 4 weeks.
I'm just not sure I'm ready to see Mufasa die in high def again.
But there's so much other stuff that's just real good. I know it was getting kind of lukewarm reviews, but as it's gone on, like the more people that I've seen like talk about it, I was like, no, yeah, it's the Lion King. It's great. Like, okay, cool.
It's true. You can't really... There's nothing bad in The Lion King.
It's The Lion King.
It's The Lion King.
So, yeah. And I also do like that it was classed as an animated movie, because it was one of those things, like, a lot of people are arguing, like, well, is it really a live action if literally everything in it is CG?
So it's a CG movie that's made to look like a live action?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that was the... Because for a while, it was... They were trying to market it as the live action Lion King, because they're in the same vein as all of the like the live action remakes, yeah, that they've been doing
the
with
Jungle
like Aladdin.
Book, Aladdin,
yeah.
Yeah,
but you know, there's no people and you can't, you know, do this with actual wild animals in a humane way,
not with that attitude.
But now they're just kind of leaning into the no animated, because look, we broke our own record again. Also, they're up to like, it's over $7 billion for the year Disney has made.
Yeah, like, it's almost 8 now. Like, it's like 7.6 or something like
it
that
was,
when I had seen it.
Because I said, because that was part of the, that was the main thing of when I sent, was it's like, so yeah, they, it beats, 7.6 billion is what Disney movies have made in 2019. Again, it's August.
Good. I was
and
worried
they
about
have Star Wars.
Yep.
I was starting to worry about Disney. I was afraid they weren't making enough money this year and I wasn't going to see these wonderful movies. But thank God they're doing so well.
Yeah, we still got Still got Star Wars. That's going to get them $1 billion.
Yeah, I know, cuz I don't go to movies very much, but I'm going to Star Wars.
Yeah,
I don't,
it's
like
Star Wars.
It's not going to do Endgame numbers.
No.
Only because of how like universally loved Infinity War was versus like the kind of mixed reaction.
Yeah, the fans are a bit torn on
but that said, everyone's still gonna see it.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah,
like I'm gonna, like I've been one of the loudest critics here, mm-hmm, about the new sequels, and I'm like, I'm gonna see it.
Yeah, you know, even the fans that are upset about it, like they're gonna pay for a ticket so they can get upset again.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm not doing that. Like, I am
no, I'm
not
accusing you of that.
I'm not going to like rage watch it. Like, I want it to be good. I want to like it.
And apparently John Williams is composing, I think I saw the thing today, 135 minutes.
John Williams!
Oh, now we got to finish it with, oh, I don't remember.
Danny Elfman.
Yeah, Danny Elfman. I saw that today. Like, he's composing 135 minutes worth of music for this movie.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh, good Lord. Is he just, they're redoing everything? But apparently it'll have like almost every theme kind of like built into it or something like that. I don't know. It was weird. Regardless, a lot of composition. So the music at least is going to be pretty fantastic.
Right on.
And speaking of Disney and making money, so we got a long time ago, we got the Disney Plus bundle price, or we got the Disney Plus price, which I think was it $5.99 a month? I meant
that, or like
$7.99 a month. It was cheap.
Let me see if I can, because I'm still trying to read that story on the ESA,
Oh, that thing. Okay, yeah. Because well, I don't. Why you looking?
I was wondering what you were doing.
I don't fully understand. Because yeah, like you said, it's very weird about like who is actually requiring what, if anything.
Right. Because yeah, I could not find a definitive answer on that at all.
And it seems like it's just kind of like a self-imposed rule through the ESA, of just like Nintendo, Xbox, and Sony have all just kind of come to an agreement. That's later though. $7.99 a month.
Okay, yeah, $7.99 a month. So
launches
yeah,
launches November 12th and will cost $8 a month as a standalone service. Mm.
Yes. They also announced a bundle. You can grab Disney Plus, the $8 subscription there, as well as ESPN and Hulu for $13.
Hold on, hold on. Ad-free Hulu?
No.
Oh.
You know it wouldn't be.
Garbage.
Whenever we were talking about it, whenever we got this posted, like whenever I saw this, I'm like, Disney, please.
Useless. Mm.
I'll give you $15 a month if you make that ad-free Hulu.
I'll give you $18. That's a good bundle. $20? Hell! $20 a month. I'll give it to you. Just give me ad-free Hulu.
Yeah, honestly, that would still be a really good deal.
It's still a good deal.
I mean, I know y'all are mad about it, but this is still a phenomenal deal.
Oh, it is.
Okay, I know, but it you is. Don't have ad-free Hulu. You don't know. Like, you can't go back, man. You can't go back.
I mean, I had Netflix.
Yeah, but it's different.
Is it?
Yeah. A little. Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
I don't think it's different. Because Netflix doesn't have ads at all. And that was, you have to also keep in mind, that was literally my only streaming service for years.
Oh, I know. I've got them both, too.
So then I went to Hulu, and it's just like, oh, now there's ads on this one. Eh, okay. It's still, and also, you know, staying at my grandparents' house and watching cable, I will take a 60-second, like, break three times an episode, then 5 minutes every 3 minutes.
Yeah, basically, what it comes down to, like, whenever I first had Hulu and I had the ad version, I also had Netflix. So I preferred Netflix to Hulu because, I mean, at that point, like, Netflix had, they had a comparable
all the good stuff.
Level of content. Like, I mean, there was just as much on Hulu that I wanted to watch as Netflix. But then, you know, like it's slowly transitioned where there's definitely more on Hulu now that I want to watch than on Netflix. But
Now Hulu has almost entirely replaced my Netflix watching.
Right. So you've got like I decided like it's only an extra $2. Yeah, that's fine. I'll go ahead and grab me some ad free Hulu for $2. And I was like, holy crap. Best $2 I've ever spent in my life.
See, like, I get mine free with Spotify. So.
Like, I challenge you to, like, pay the extra for the ad-free and see if you can go back.
He has the Spotify bundle.
I get Hulu for free.
Oh, you don't even have the option.
Yeah. Well, because he has a Spotify bundle, which is, like, you just get Spotify Premium, the $10 a month.
Oh, I know, yeah. I have it, too.
Because it was supposed to be, like, $13 for both. And then I got an email after, like, 3 months, and they're like, hey, so we've reconfigured some pricing, and everything's just $10 a month now.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool, Spotify.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, yeah, that was awesome. So yeah, Spotify, Hulu's dropping prices, Netflix is raising them.
Because it's not going to be $2 difference, it's going to be $12 difference a month.
Man, it was one of those things, like, because I get reimbursed for Spotify through my credit card.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. Though, even if I wasn't, because when that deal was going around, I was like, well, I could, you know, pay an extra, you know, $3 and save... I would be saving $8 a month because I would get Hulu for free, or I would get Hulu for with the Spotify subscription. But then I was like, it's still worth it to not have ads.
Yeah, no, I had pay for my Spotify. They've given me the option to have the free Hulu. I've never signed up for it because it's 2019. I'm not watching ads. I paid extra.
Sprint also
has.
Well,
sometimes.
Free Hulu, like Sprint offered me free Hulu, but I was like, "Well, is it the ad-free version? Oh no, can I pay extra for the ad-free version? No,
because there are certain things if you watch on Hulu, they have to have ads.
Yeah,
so even ad-free Hulu is not always ad-free.
They start you with an ad before and after the show.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen these ads yet. When did this happen?
Are you watching it on your computer?
I'm watching it on my TV.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you still probably have like anything that's. I guess some of the bigger stuff, like I know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the first one that comes to mind, and The Good Place did it too. It was like, due to streaming rights, the following will have an ad before and after the show is the line.
Yeah.
So it plays an ad at the like right before the show, and then it plays an ad that you skip at the end of it because you've gone on to something else.
I think we watch different stuff. Maybe my stuff doesn't.
I mean, yeah, it's not everything, but there are certain things.
It doesn't happen on MasterChef or reruns of Venture Brothers. So
yet.
Yet.
You know, a lot of the stuff that's
honestly
on there,
if they
like,
do that, I'll bump down to the ad with ads, because if I'm paying extra, I don't want a single ad.
Because like King of the Hill doesn't have any ads or anything like that, any of the older stuff. It's just the stuff that's like, this just aired today, And you know, the stuff that they limit to the most recent five episodes, like anything like that is going to have that, like there will be an ad before and after the show.
That said, there's also things on the ad on the basic version of Hulu that doesn't include ads, and that's been real nice.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Ninja Turtles, I haven't had a single ad other than like the little bumper, like you're watching Nickelodeon. The majority of those episodes haven't had any. Same thing with like World of Gumball. Like those little 15-minute ones.
And honestly, like if Hulu managed to get a situation going where like if the ad if the ad version of it was just like the how the ad free version works with the new shows, like they'll give me an ad before the show and after the show, I would be fine with that. I don't like ads in the middle of my show. Netflix has spoiled me rotten.
It's true. It breaks up the flow.
It does.
Horribly.
Even like, it is funny though when I watch like older stuff and like you get moments where it's very clear.
They cut to commercials.
It was designed for an ad break.
Mm-hmm.
That's always really funny when I get that.
Oh yeah.
But
you cut away from the scene to cut right back to the same scene.
Because it's pretty much the Netflix shows that they know they're Netflix exclusive, so they know they don't have to worry about commercial breaks. Mm-hmm. Whereas just like everything else is still made for traditional media, is made for TV with
and especially those older cartoons where it would be like 3 seconds of overlap. So like you would come back from the ad and it would be
it just fades out and then fades back in and it's the last line is just repeated.
Yep, that happens more than a few times. Like when I'm watching like rewatching older cartoons, like it happened a few times. I just recently rewatched Daria, and it happened a couple of times in there. But anyway, this is still a pretty phenomenal deal. If you're not people like me and Trevor, and I understand that we are the minority are willing to pay a gross amount of extra money to not.
We understand we're crazy.
Yes. But for the rest of you, this is a phenomenal deal.
Especially if you don't already have Hulu. Because like, since I already have Hulu, like this doesn't interest me at all. Because it's like, all right, well, I'm already getting Hulu for free. All I want is Disney because I could care less. Like, it would not be possible for me to care less about getting ESPN.
If ESPN has hockey, I'm interested, but I think that's owned by like Fox Sports Midwest and NBC.
I know that there are certain things on like that ESPN streaming service. It's ESPN Plus.
I take it back. Well, no, because the 30 for 30s usually end up on Netflix, don't they?
I have no idea. I'll be honest with you.
Is ESPN the one that does those?
I don't know. I don't know what that is. I'll be honest.
They do a documentary series.
Oh.
And they're usually really, really good. Like they just did one on, they did one on Ric Flair not too long ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Also, ESPN Plus definitely does do NHL.
Really?
Not every game, but they definitely do NHL.
And it is ESPN that does 30 for 32. So
really,
that could be kind of neat. But I don't know if those would be on the streaming platform or not. Still not enough for me to justify the extra, you know, $5.
If I could pay like $15 a month and have all the hockey games next season, I'm down for that.
But there would be ads.
Yeah, but I'm already watching ads when I watch them now.
I don't know why I just Ace's grin at that.
I know.
It was really funny to me. So but yeah, no, ESPN Plus though, like, boy, I wish that the NFL would get off of the TV rights because I think. And Cody will probably correct me here, but I think that ESPN Plus used to get the Thursday night games.
Yeah.
But now, last season was the first season that those started streaming on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, they get them like they get the Thursday games on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it was Prime. They definitely do. But I'm trying to think if it was either that or NFL Network that got the Thursday night games. It was either ESPN Plus or NFL Network. I don't remember which.
No idea.
Regardless, I know like ESPN Plus isn't going to stream me any NFL games because those all have to be on one of the three major networks.
That's just dumb.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's 2019. Get it together, folks.
And the only people that can stream the NFL is the stupid DirecTV Sunday Ticket.
No, that's the only people who can legally stream the NHL.
Yeah, NFL.
NFL.
Yes. And even they can't stream to you local games. So, like, if you could get it on your local cable with Sunday Ticket, like, or if you can get it on your local cable, Sunday Ticket will not let you watch those games on, like, via the Sunday Ticket service.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, because you could, because I remember I had my stepdad had signed up for Sunday Ticket, and he just watched it on, you know, he watched it on his TV, like on a satellite. So they gave me the login so I could stream it for Sunday Ticket. But if the game I wanted to watch was ever one of the local games, I couldn't watch it.
Makes total sense.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And there needs to be a way for me to legally stream these that don't involve DirecTV. Because you can't just get the Sunday Ticket.
Yeah.
You have to get the whole thing.
Because if you don't give me a good way to, like, legally and easily stream something, I'm just going to do it for free illegally.
Yeah, in this hypothetical situation.
In this hypothetical situation, which totally will never and has never happened, but I would
just
probably
turn
that.
It off and play video games.
No, but then that'll turn cooler. Me into a violent... Never mind. All right, so moving on, though, we've got a little bit more from Disney here. They're developing a new Lucasfilm project. It's not Star Wars or Indiana Jones. Children of Blood and Bone. Lucasfilm picked this up a little while ago. It's a novel released in 2008. Heavily based on... Let's see, do I have that written down here? Nope, that's something different. Anyway, apparently it draws a lot of influences from like Harry Potter. This character is trying to reintroduce magic into this fictional world. I guess a lot of the it also has a lot of influences from West African culture, and a whole lot of stuff about, like, you know, police brutality and that kind of thing make a play in the theme.
Huh.
Could be an interesting
movie.
So this
is a completely, like, new IP from Lucas.
Based on a book.
Based on a book.
With the same name.
Okay.
And apparently the book is phenomenal.
Does Disney own Lucasfilm?
Yes.
Yes. Disney own all things.
Remember that...
These just sound like themes that I do not...
They own Lucas...
Normally attribute to Disney.
Fox owned Lucasfilm.
Oh, so now Disney
has... They grabbed
has...
it and... Yes. And Fox had picked up the rights to this movie, and they're going to have Lucasfilm.
If they're doing their
it.
Hands-off approach, like they're... kind of saying that they were going to,
yeah,
then we will see. Otherwise, yeah, this does not sound like a great time.
I for one look forward to our mouse overlords.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to go and delete so many episodes. Just lean into it.
You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of Disney right now. As of
Disney's great.
As they of right are, now, they're benevolent. They just
it's
they
great
see
right
my
now.
Family.
Yeah. They're like Google around like 2007 before they removed the "Don't Be Evil" moniker from their company.
Yeah.
Really happy with them right now.
It's sitting right here.
It hears us.
It literally does.
Yeah, sometimes the assistant just kicks on.
Hey, you were saying?
Yeah, and I don't appreciate it.
I know where you live. I know where you work.
I know your commute. I know exactly how you get there. Yeah.
Because, like, I never told my phone where I work, but it tells me, like what my drive's going to be like that day.
It's really? Like, oh, you got to...
Pops
oh.
up every morning.
Oh,
my
you, oh, you need directions
less
to
intrusive.
The Memphis... you need directions to Memphis International? No, let's take you to a different airport. Much seedier one. No terminals. No TSA.
Your car's become a smart car. Wait, what? How?
Bluetooth's a magical thing.
This thing's a 2004.
Oh. Those things will never happen. It's great.
It's fine. It's all fine.
It's all great. Everyone smile.
Bezos
Our
doesn't hunt
people.
Shut up and smile.
Bezos doesn't hunt people for sport on an island. No, I said he didn't. I said he didn't.
Didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't.
Yeah, we heard you.
We heard you. Totally.
That's not something that happens.
He's looking like he's got a tan, though. Anyway.
Either way, Disney, new project. Children of Blood and Bone. Sounds really neat. Coming to America is getting a sequel.
Woo!
This is something I had heard about happening a long time ago, but I missed the official announcement that it actually is happening. That announcement came January of this year. That it's officially happening. And Trevor and I bonded over Coming to America.
It's one of my favorite movies of all
it's
time.
So good.
All time. Like top five.
It was one of the few movies that we had a duplicate of because my movie library was significantly larger than Trevor's.
Trevor's got like 12 movies.
That was one
of them was Coming to America.
One of them is Coming to America.
See, when we lived together, yeah, we had two of them.
It was that and Dark Knight. We both had a copy of Dark Knight.
Yep. And, yeah, no, that was just one of the movies that we just pop in occasionally. Like, it would sometimes stay in the DVD player
mm-hmm.
For a while.
Yeah, it was in my laptop for like a good month, solid month, when I didn't have internet. I just moved into a place I had no internet, so I just fall asleep to Coming to America like every night.
It's a good movie. So anyway, yeah, it's getting a sequel. And they have, like, Eddie Murphy's going to be reprising his role.
Good. I mean, you couldn't do it without it.
You could.
See, I mean, I'm not going to it.
I missed any of this news, so that's why I was kind of like... Like, you guys seem excited, so hopefully that means they're going to do it correctly, yeah. And it's not just a...
I'm excited because I'm just now hearing this.
And also, Eddie Murphy is putting has a big hand in it.
Okay.
Does that mean Arsenio Hall comes back?
Arsenio Hall is coming back. Yes. So is James Earl Jones, Sherry Headley, and John Amos.
Boom! Okay, I'm in.
So yeah, a lot of the big stuff. We also got Jermaine Fowler, Wesley Snipes, Kiki Layne, and Leslie Jones have been cast. Those are the new cast.
Wesley Snipes?
And we have a little bit of the story. The new story sees Akeem, Eddie Murphy's character, now set to become king, discovering he has a son he never knew about, a street-savvy Queens native named Lavelle, who's going to be played by Jermaine Fowler. Honoring his father's dying wish to groom his son as a new crowned prince, Akeem must once again return to America.
Awesome. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'm sold.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going.
It's going to be theater.
It might be awful, but I'm going to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. it's probably going to be... Solid chance it could be garbage. We could get a Pluto Nash here, but I'm going to cheese the whole way through the movie.
I love that movie. It's so good. All right. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs. Plus, they got action figures and other cool stuff and delicious coffee.
Delicious.
Superman 14 and Supergirl 33 have been recalled. It was the DC official word was the covers were misleading to the contents.
What?
I know, right?
It's a comic book.
Are the covers like the comic, Harley Quinn?
The covers have literally never...
It's like, especially variant covers rarely have anything to do with the contents.
Like, sometimes... I say never, like, don't at me. I understand that they used to actually kind of do that, but like,
More often than not now, the covers are loosely related to the contents at best.
Loosely.
In that, like, the title character's usually on them, and something related to what they're doing in the book is on it.
As a general rule. Did you say Superman 14?
Superman 14, yes. And did Supergirl 33.
Did they relaunch Superman?
I don't know.
Because, like, Superman was Rebirth. So they should be up to, like, 70-something.
Because I thought the number was low. But, I mean, it's Supergirl 33. And obviously, but, yeah,
That's how much we care about Superman here.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, I don't care much.
It had to have relaunched, like, a new numbering. Because
would not surprise me, like, if it happened after one of the big events. Like,
so it was misleading what they put Batman on the cover or something?
People got real disappointed? I think it was, at least from what I can tell from the covers that... Because I saw the covers that are getting destroyed and the covers that are shipping. The big difference is that the covers that are getting destroyed had Year of the Villain markings.
So that actually makes sense.
Yeah, so it had Year of the Villain stuff, and it's not actually Year of the Villain.
Oh.
That makes way more sense.
So if you got a hold of one of these comic books, hold on to it.
Yeah, because the thing is...
That's going to be where money...
Comic book distributors were told to destroy them.
Also, if you do, keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut, or we'll find you.
Because Diamond will close your local shop.
Yeah. If you manage to get one from your local shop... That's on the down low.
Snitches get stitches, guys. Be cool.
Because honestly, what ends up happening with these, the last time we had a book like this that distributors were told to destroy, those comic books ended up going for dumb amounts of money on eBay because a lot of stores, I say a lot, definitely a tiny minority, did not destroy them and instead pulled them and sold them on eBay for dumb amounts of money.
I mean... Yeah.
So I mean, this is one of those rare times that an interesting event will cause a comic book to be very rare, and that's gonna be this.
But it's also that artificial rarity, like people are only it's only selling for dumb amounts because people are willing to sell like buy it. So I don't know.
It's
one of those weird ones where it's just like if it's collectors not like are a wanting cool thing where there was no, you know, this is the first time a character's appeared or like for storyline reasons, this is just a, oh, hey, there's a misprint.
Exactly. Yeah, I was actually going to say this is in exactly the same category as a misprint comic, like getting mass produced.
Yeah.
Yeah. So either way, it could very well be worth money because a lot of collectors, you know, they want everything. And this is going to be one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be part of the everything. So anyway, the last bit of comic book news. Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder are confirmed for another DC project that has not been named yet. They're keeping it kind of secret. It'll start after The Last Knight on Earth is done.
Give me Hellblazer. Just give me Hellblazer.
Yeah, let it be a limited series standalone thing.
Don't want them on another run of anything?
Not that I don't want them on another run. Like, it's just I don't want them to have another Dark Knight's Metal. Like, I don't want Metal 2.
Yeah, no, I don't want that. And I mean, that's when I think limited series, that's what I think with them.
Oh no, mean make a Hellblazer. Like, if they're gonna be on a new project, like, let it be a, because I'm assuming they're not gonna be on a new ongoing. So like, if it's because it could be, but like, this doesn't, to me, that doesn't sound like,
you know, this announcement does not sound like an ongoing.
It's going to be like a, you know, a limited series of something, but it doesn't need to be a crossover. Yeah. It could just be a, hey, we're going to actually pump out 12 issues of Hellblazer.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be another Black Label thing, which could be Hellblazer still. Like, it could be a 12 issue Black Label Hellblazer.
Last Knight on Earth, where it's
don't tease me.
It's going to be, you know, Last Knight on Earth, where it's going to be another, you know, just Batman, Elseworlds Batman story, or you know, something like that. Yeah. Let it be something that is contained to one book, not like a Dark Knight's Metal universe shaping thing.
Yeah, or right. I don't want to see them on another big event like that. I would be fine to see them in a new ongoing,
which also would be cool. But like I said, just this announcement doesn't strike me as an ongoing announcement.
This strikes me as a big event is coming.
Yeah,
is how this is hitting me. Like, basically, maybe some kind of culmination for the Batman Who Laughs or something like that.
We just got that, though. Or no, that's going to be in... That's the new Batman Superman book.
Yeah, so...
Is the fallout of that.
And it wouldn't be the first time that DC has done, like, you know, something like that, where that just jumps into something huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't know what it's going to be. We don't have no idea. We consider it speculate all day long. But obviously, I think everybody that's listening out there knows our feelings on the Snyder Capullo New 52 Batman run. They're positive. If you don't know that, they're
those
positive
are very
feelings.
Positive. What they've put out since then is mixed.
Yeah, because I do Metal. I really, really liked the spinoffs for Metal, but the main line I did not care for.
And I enjoyed it. I just didn't like how it was implemented into the rest of the universe.
Yeah, I think it was well done, but you didn't see the ripple effect within the rest of the comic books.
Which, and that's on DC. They had announced event.
But it's that same thing of, well, DC is also going to be the ones putting this out, so that lens, I have to look through that lens of...
No, yeah.
It's true, but I'll put that Snyder on Snyder Capullo. And Capullo, though. As much, that's DC dropping the ball, not tying that in.
Oh, no, yeah, like, I'm aware, but it's also that I don't know if we can cut DC the slack to not do the exact same thing again.
No, absolutely.
And Last Night on Earth, just, like, the previews didn't really grab me, so I'm not picking that up. Like, I might get that. I might get that as a collected edition.
Yeah, I've got the first two issues. I haven't gotten around to reading them yet because reasons. Like, I really don't. It's a thick book. And then when I'm sitting there, like, in my comic book time, I look at that thing and I'm like, I don't think I've got time to get through this. Because you know, it's one of those things. Like, I got like,
you need
20
Sunday
minutes,
afternoon.
Half an hour.
Or there's other stuff that you'd rather work your way through.
That also occasionally happens. Like today I had extra time, but Symbiote Spider-Man number 4 was sitting right there, and and Batman and Batman Curse of the White Knight was sitting right there, so I'm like and
that one I might actually read as it comes out.
Curse of the White Knight,
really?
Potentially, depending on if Midtown Comics ever sends me issue number 1. But
I will say, like, their version of Azrael is pretty interesting. From the first book, I'm sure. That's all I'm going to tell you. I know you don't want to spoil anything more than that. All right, that's going to do it for comic books. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends at Press Start to Join. Find all of their content at ps2jshow.com, including their past podcasts and social media links. Last Wednesday of each month is the History of Gaming episodes. This past month they did Sega. They also did a free Prelude to Sega show that's on their Patreon. Find links to all that on, once again, ps2jshow.com. All right, so in video games, we got a new Google Stadia event announced for August 19th. So we're going to get next Monday, we're going to get a little bit more information about Google Stadia, hopefully clarifying a few things. I know, like, they recently did an AMA that left a lot of people a little confused, especially with some real bogus headlines that were coming out of it.
Oh, I mean, but that wasn't from the AMA. No, that was just clickbaity looking for...
Yeah.
Because I was there for the AMA. Like, I was reading through it, and I read all of the questions and responses, and there wasn't a lot... There were a lot of unanswered questions, but everything that was answered... I feel like was answered well.
Yeah, the big thing was, and it really
people
was
didn't really
just
like the answers.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, but like one of the big things that I was talking about there, like you said, a lot of clickbaity articles.
Mm-hmm.
The AMA resulted in those, and the headlines were causing some confusion, and they were taking some stuff out of context and some stuff making it sound a lot worse than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like the big thing is Google still won't guarantee what happens to games you bought while you have Stadia if Stadia were to shut down, because that question was answered in such a way where it was like, we cannot guarantee your games, like if the studio gets shut down, but we're also not going to go, you know, half-cocked on this one. They're going all in.
Right.
Like, we're Google, you know.
But it's also, you can actually, you will be able to download the metadata. It's just,
yeah, so
what
you
will
can,
you be able to do with it is the big question. It's
right.
Just like, so you will have it. But it's the same thing.
But the metadata
like,
stuff, that's like your save files and everything. You won't actually have, mm-hmm. like,
the game files.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then there's also the thing where because he even talks about that the headlines and all the articles that, you know, are trying to, like, because for whatever reason, people are real excited for this to fail.
Yeah.
And I don't fully understand why. Maybe because it's Google, but it's also that thing of like, okay, so if Microsoft, like, tomorrow announces, hey, so just Xbox Store is gone. Like, we're no longer supporting video games. What happens to all of your digital purchases?
Yeah, they're gone.
I feel like at that point...
They're not gone. Anything that you had downloaded, you still have access to. And
right.
I think that's everybody's big
qualm. And that's the big difference with Stadia. But yeah, it's... Because
you can't download the games.
It's the same thing with, like, Spotify or anything digital that you just kind of, like, stream.
Yeah.
Like, look at Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many of those shows are you like, all right.
But you also, like...
I get that you're not paying for them individually, but...
Yes. Because, that's the big thing with it. Like, you're paying $60 for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the...
That's another thing they didn't answer. They will be competitively priced.
So let's assume that it's going to be the MSRP. You're paying $60 for the game.
Got it.
That like you know if the service goes away, you no longer have access to that game.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like my only response to that or my biggest response to that is, Google kept Google Plus around for a decade.
And that was totally free.
And that was so unpopular.
Yeah, if that can stick around for a decade, I think that Stadia will be around long enough for you to realize I shouldn't buy any more games here, or it's going to be just fine.
I mean, and even, like, look at the Ouya.
Ouya stuck around for, like, 5 or 6 years.
That thing just ended, like, a couple months ago, officially.
I mean, it had been dead for a while before that, but, it's... no longer has like an online service to it anymore.
Plus,
yeah.
Like I said, like this is going to like Stadia, the Pro Edition or whatever it's called, like will have a paid feature to it.
Mm.
So, you know, whereas Google Plus did not.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there was any sort of premium thing that you could.
I think they had like a premium Google Plus like business thing that was conference calls and stuff.
Because mm-hmm.
I'd used that for a couple times in college. That 1 week I had a Google Plus account.
Yeah. I had a Google Plus account.
I also had a Google Plus account because they're like, check out Google Plus. It's like Facebook, but look at circles.
And yeah.
I was like,
I'm all about getting away from this Bluth stuff.
That was like a weird parody of what a social media app would be.
They were trying.
And especially like at that point, you know, like at this point, I'm less on the I welcome our Google overlords train.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I was all about it. Now I'm just like, well, maybe.
It's because they took the Be Evil moniker off, man. Yeah. That's the first red flag.
It was a big
literally,
red flag.
Their motto was don't be evil, and they took it away. They took it away. That's concerning.
A little.
That's Epstein level concerning, sir.
I don't know about Epstein level.
To me, it is.
Oh, fair enough. But yeah, no, it's pretty concerning. And like they've done some things like in the recent few years that I'm just like, well,
evil. Little evil?
A little evil. And Trevor, for those out there listening.
Evil adjacent.
Definitely evil adjacent. Evil. He did the Dr. Evil mm-hmm, pinky. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to catch a tan.
Either way, the point is, yeah, but I had Google Plus and I really wanted that to work because, you know, I was like, yeah, Google's trying out Facebook. Cool. And I thought the circles thing was kind of cool because... that was before you could restrict what, you know, certain people like were seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that on Facebook now because there are people on my friends list that I don't want to see everything that I post. They go in a special list and everything that I post is defaulted to like these people don't see this.
The list is labeled racist family members. I also have a list.
It's not labeled that.
I'm so happy my family doesn't have Facebook. Like, my aunt does, but she's cool.
Yeah.
I really wish my family didn't have Facebook.
My mom has no interest. Or at least she hasn't. Like, I feel like I have probably a year left.
I don't get on Facebook enough for it to matter.
Yeah, I've probably got a year before my mom finally, like, buckles and joins, but...
Ooh, enjoy that year, man.
It's gonna be nice. Mm. Which, that said, though, like, my mom is also cool. Like, she's going to be the one that's tagging me in, like, weird left-wing stuff.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, at least, like, none of my
family... So I don't have to worry about the pictures of Obama with fangs photoshopped in, like, about to eat a small child.
With you tagged in it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, did you see this?
My family doesn't tag me in any of that stuff. My grandpa will send me that stuff in a private message, but he doesn't tag me in any of it.
My family ain't that bad. I don't know. I was telling Jesse my Facebook app undownloaded from my phone. That's how much I use it. I had to get on there to like look something up and I had to re-download the app.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move past that family drama stuff here. So yeah, Google Stadia. Yeah, we got an event. We're going to find out some more stuff on August 19th.
I'm really curious what it's going to be because like clearly they're just trying to get a jump on the Gamescom coverage.
Yeah.
So
because Gamescom is the following weekend.
Yeah. So I'm thinking we're probably going to get more games announced.
Mm.
Potentially like
a
our
pricing
first
model.
No, we have the pricing model.
No, I mean not for like for the games.
Oh,
not
for the
games.
Gotcha.
Yeah, not for the memberships.
Like, yeah, I mean, they might, you know, mention, like, everything is just, you know, be kind of cool if it was cheaper, though.
Like, it would be kind of cool.
Can you imagine if it was be like, all right, so you can drop $60 on Cyberpunk 2077 or come through, and then you have to download it. Anytime there's an update, you have to go through that or get it on Stadia for $50. That'd be kind of nuts.
That would be.
I don't expect it. Like, that's not going to happen, but.
Yeah, that's competitive pricing.
Well, because the digital market, the reason that it's still $60 for a digital copy of a game versus the physical copy is because the distributors have that deal with like Microsoft and Sony. Like you cannot do or there's some kind of like agreement out there somewhere where they cannot charge less for a digital copy.
Well, like, yeah, because they're not like, oh, if you're just going to charge cheaper online, that's going to cut into our profits for people coming into our brick and mortar store. Yeah.
So we're going to stop selling your products.
We just won't carry your products if you charge less for online.
But you have stuff like Best Buy, you know, they had their membership, you got 20% off of new games.
Mm-hmm.
If Best Buy could do that for their membership, Google could too.
It's true.
Could happen. But realistically, I feel like we'll probably get the first announcement for a Google Stadia exclusive game that potentially... See? Again, no, I don't. I am not talking
to
you.
You said Google. Your phone keeps kicking.
That's awesome. It probably heard OK Google.
Stop it.
No.
Don't say that, Jesse.
Yeah, it woke up mine.
But no, so we will probably get the first like Google exclusive game, like the Stadia exclusive game.
Yeah.
We could potentially, which for how long this has been in the works, I kind of would be a little bit surprised if it wasn't available at launch.
Oh, you'd be foolish not to.
Like, if we might get that reveal because it's coming in November. So we're only a couple months away. So, like, they could kind of start.
Stadia was coming in October.
No, it's
a you haven't pre-ordered. I believe you. This was my thought. Like, I could have sworn it was coming out earlier.
I don't think it was. I'll double check it, though, because I'm pretty sure it's supposed to, because I need to remember to keep an eye out, because they're going to send me my email, because what they're doing is, like, so the Founders Edition people get, like, they're getting their code to, like, get their username first.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, but it's going in, yeah, Stadia arrives this November.
Okay.
So, yeah, we might get a firm launch date for one, like, when, you know, the pre-orders and the Founders Packs are going to start rolling out. Games announcements, because that's really all that's left. As well as maybe they can go in depth on the actual, like, streaming for, like, YouTube. Because that was the thing that I was curious about. Is like, okay, so am I going to be able to stream on Twitch or Mixer? Or is it only going to be YouTube? Make a lot of sense if it was only on YouTube. But that would also be a bummer because YouTube streaming is...
not near as popular.
Yeah.
Not near as popular and kind of laden with a lot of flaws.
Yeah. Which, like, YouTube in general is not very content creator friendly lately.
No.
So
I'm actually really surprised that Google hasn't tried to buy out Twitch yet.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably have tried to buy out Twitch.
Give it time.
I think Twitch is
no, Amazon owns Twitch.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Amazon bought out Twitch.
Got
it.
Yeah,
so that's why.
Because they added the Twitch Prime and all that stuff.
Yeah. That's right.
So they're probably, I bet you there's a bidding war for that. Google desperately wanted it.
I was like, one of the big companies picked them up.
Yeah, Amazon did.
I'm excited for
it. And the guys that founded Twitch made bank.
Yeah. I'm excited for Monday, like, because I have the Founders Edition pre-ordered. I'm looking forward to what is possible. If anything else, I spent the money on a controller I can use for free on anything else that comes out, and any of my Destiny 2 data that I get, because I get a free copy of that, will then go to the free-to-play version on Xbox or PS4.
Yep.
And then I get the Chromecast Ultra. So.
Yeah, and the Chromecast Ultra, you've got a 4K TV. You can take advantage of it.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's a solid deal all around. Like, I just... for me personally, I'm excited about Stadia, but I'm not going to do the Chromecast with the controller feature. I'm doing that Raspberry Pi thing I was talking about, and I'm just really hoping that works.
Or even just using it on your PC.
Yeah, that too.
Because you can also do that.
I'm going to give it like a year or two and just see how it plays out.
And that's what I was going to say, is like, you're excited for like the 2021 Stadia?
No, yeah. I mean,
like, let there be a library.
I'm really excited for like 2021 when Stadia's got all the bugs worked out. We got really cool exclusive content. Yeah.
Because honestly, like,
I'll get it then.
Which Baldur's Gate, that's the one that kind of was like, all right, because I ain't got a PC that's going to be able to run it.
And I've got, you know, like, I've got a good PC, obviously, and I've got really good internet is the big thing. Like, I've got, you know, we here are, like, where we live, we're pretty
in
blessed.
Middle America?
With pretty solid internet.
With no data caps.
With no data
caps.
No
data caps.
So we're not sitting out in the country, you know, with terrible internet, which, I mean, people very near us, like.
Very near. Tanner.
Yeah. Tanner, like, is
he
very close to us.
He just got decent internet.
He had to drive to the edge of his property
and
to download his podcast.
Mm-hmm. And he still has data caps.
Yeah.
We're in a solid spot where we have, like, really good internet compared to the rest of the country anyway, with no data caps. Mm-hmm. We're in an awesome spot right now where, like, Google Stadia, like, could be a really cool deal. Because the idea of being able to just jump on and not having to update a game...
Mm-hmm.
So appealing to me, because how many times have we gotten, like, you know, gotten really excited for a game on release day, and then we got here and we're like,
last two Call of Duties for sure,
yeah,
at least,
and Anthem.
Day one patch.
Anthem,
yeah, we had to download and install the game because the disc only had like the rights to play the game on it, so we had to download the entire game. So yeah, we just sat there like we were hyped about this game, and then the hype, you know, had to. Get held off for 4 hours.
It's exclusively why I haven't talked to you about taking off on Borderlands 3 release day.
Yeah, because like I'll probably just grab the game over lunch or something like that.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Is I'm going to pick it up on lunch from Best Buy. I'm going to install it on my lunch break, and then Friday night we will not be making our trip to Villainous Grounds and or playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I thought it was coming out on Monday.
It's a Friday.
The 13th is a Friday.
Oh.
Because Friday the 13th.
Aww. I just got that, and I looked this up like 2 weeks ago because I was like, what day is it?
Oh, I thought originally it was going to be a Monday or Tuesday, and I could spend all day playing it.
No, it's going to be Friday, so basically what you can
3 days later, though.
3 days later. Because
then you'll have made progress. You'll actually have some cool stuff to be able to play with. You'll have a hang for like the new mechanics.
If you've got it paid for already, like you can have like me or your wife pick it up for you and start the installation process.
There you go.
Then when you're off work... just ready to go.
There you go.
And then
that's
all night long, Friday night. All night long.
Rich Swan.
Yeah, no, we're going to play some Borderlands 3.
It's going to be a lot of
fun. And then Borderlands 3. Well, you just have to request off that Saturday.
I don't think me and you have, I don't think I have a job that I can do that.
You could try.
I'd give it a shot.
Requesting off is a thing.
Yeah,
they don't
requesting
have to approve
off it. is a thing for like industries with things like sick days and insurance.
I requested off all the time at Red Lobster, and I got neither of those.
yeah, you can request off. Like, you won't get paid the same way.
That's because there was more than three people that worked at your place. like if I could request off, somebody's hitting over 40 hours.
That's that the Gaming Ground special right there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the deal there with Google Stadia. Yeah, so I'm really excited about it because the idea of going all the way back to the point of that is not having to update or download anything. Just like I own the game, it's available. Let's play.
Yep. Super appealing.
Because I was going to jump into Mortal Kombat, and there was like they did their huge patch, an update for 11. Last week in preparation for Nightwolf launching tomorrow. So, it was like, I'll jump on a couple games. It's like 6 gig update. And I'm like, well, there's like 10 minutes that.
Yeah. Longer.
I could just be playing something else.
I just like the idea of not buying a console again.
That's the other big thing. Cool. Like with
that's big for me.
Cause all they have to do is just update their servers. That's all on their end. And you kind of have that.
And as long as you have internet and a web browser, you're good to go. And then like, I like the idea that I have with the Raspberry Pi. I mean, it outputs in 4K, has, internet hookup as well as Bluetooth and USB input. So I can hook my Xbox One controller up to this sucker and just play Stadia, like, with the little Raspberry Pi. Like, I have a Google Stadia that I could just carry anywhere.
Yeah.
As long as I got internet.
Which is so much better, because every time, like, a new console comes out, I'm like, all right, well, I got a budget $700 now.
Right.
And I can afford this in a year and a half when it's $100, $200 cheaper.
I've been trying to, like, put money aside, because someone was like, if Sony releases the PS5 in, like, November, if you put $1 a day from when they announced it, you would have, like, the $500 to cover it. So I was like, that's something I've been trying to do, is just, like, I'm just putting extra money into my savings account every month to, like...
That way you're just ready to go.
Smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing similar, but mostly to pay taxes.
But is there a way that Google could block that? Do you know?
Probably.
If they could recognize that, oh, no, this is not the setup that's supposed to be happening?
I mean, probably, but I don't see why they would. Because it's just something with a web browser.
Yeah.
They still get money.
Right. Like, it's, yeah. Because that's how we'd be playing it. Like, I would just open up the web browser and go.
I gotcha.
I
just didn't know if it was one. Because, when you mentioned, using the Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah, because they definitely said the Xbox One controller and Xbox. Either way, they said you can use any controller you've already got.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, but the only way to do it through the TV is through the Stadia controller and the Chromecast Ultra.
Correct.
But if it's recognizing it as, a web browser, then never mind. Okay.
Yeah, because, you could even hook up a laptop.
I was looking for a way for them to be, shady, but...
Yeah, no, as far as I'm aware, there's not in this particular situation.
We'll keep you updated.
Right, I'll let you know if this works.
It would be quite evil of them to do that.
It would be. They want me to buy their 4K thing instead of just, having a $30 Raspberry Pi that outputs in 4K. All right. So, yeah, that's Google Stadia. And Destiny 2, we got a little bit of news there. Asa mentioned that a minute ago. The cross-save feature is actually going live August 21st. There's a couple of links you can go online and grab to get ready for that. They've also got, it might be the same day that they're doing the migration over to Steam. So you can start migrating all of your content. If you own the game on PC, you can start migrating everything over from the Blizzard service to Steam, as opposed to... just rebuying the game or whatever, doing the free version. We've got that. We've also got August 14th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. They're doing another video conference of the new Armor 2.0 update, is what I guess the fans are calling it, and Bungie's kind of adopted that. They're apparently adding in a whole slew of new armor customization options to make your character look, as custom as possible, like however you want it to look. And they're going to really detail that with a bunch of artifacts, shaders, and everything else. been out of Destiny for a little while. I don't know what all you
I am not looking forward to that coming to, like, because I will play that in November on Stadia.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited to start playing Destiny again just because the game itself was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I am not, like, my roommate has been in on Destiny since, like, the first one. And he's been caught up with two. And, like, anytime I, like, go downstairs and he's playing and he's talking about, like, the different thing that he's doing, I'm just like, holy crap. I am so out of my depth. I am not going to know
a
single friggin' thing whenever this rolls out. I'm going to be so lost.
Yeah. It's one of those things. There is so much going with it. And I love Destiny. I love Destiny 1. Played all of Destiny 1 all the way through. And then Destiny 2, like, they reverted right back to the mistakes they claimed they learned from for Destiny 2. The gameplay and everything was super fun, but, like, the super aggressive pricing scheme was not.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that was all Activision. And, you know, they're like, oh, we learned our lesson, and they're doing exactly, you know. Or they
see, Bungie said they learned their lesson.
Yeah.
And they did. It's just...
Activision's like, well, I mean, you may have learned your lesson, but we made a lot of money that way, so we're going to do it that way again. So yeah, Destiny 2, like, I jumped off that after they're like, yeah, this is exactly where we're doing this DLC and everything exactly the same way we did for Destiny 1. But why? Why would you do that to us? You said you wouldn't.
That's a no from me, dog.
Yeah, so I quit playing. But now Activision let go of Bungie. Like, Bungie's its own thing. So they have complete control over their product.
The way it should be.
And that makes me happy. And apparently, like, right now, from my understanding, Destiny 2, as it stands, is the best Destiny has ever been. Like, it is just, like, everything about it is super great, and it's awesome, and the fans have nothing but compliments for everything going on. Minus, like, you know, like, just nitpicky gun updates and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's always going to be a thing.
I don't know, Captain Complainer here is going to find something come November. Get the keyboard fingers ready.
he's just ready to be mad.
I will wreck you.
So yeah, no, and I'm actually, like, it's really unfortunate that Destiny 2 is going to try and compete with Borderlands 3 for my time.
Oh yeah, because they're going to lose that fight.
They're going to lose
that fight. Heard.
We have, that'll be 2 full months of Borderlands, so I'm assuming we'll have Borderlands beaten through at least 2 characters,
like a month and a half. Because it's October 1st is when Destiny 2 comes out.
Yeah, but I won't get it until November.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
That's what I am. Oh, for me, yeah. I'm not going to start playing Destiny 2 again until it comes out on Stadia.
Yeah, because the new update doesn't come out until, like, it just got pushed October 1st.
So with this cross-save thing, is it where, like, okay, I've been playing on PC with you. Oh, so-and-so, like, I have it now on Xbox as well, assuming I've paid for everything, because I know the new light mode is a whole other thing. Assuming that I own all of the content on 2 platforms, will that let me jump back and forth, or is it like a one-time?
My understanding is, yeah, you can jump back and forth.
Okay.
As long as you have to own all the content on both platforms.
Does it say anything about Stadia?
I haven't seen,
like, it. I don't know if it, like, I would assume, like, eventually that will come, but it may not be.
Because I thought they said crossplay was, like, I think, I remember them mentioning.
They want crossplay to be a thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're working on crossplay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I think
if
whenever they talked
about
cross save, they were saying, like, Stadia came up.
Yeah, maybe that'll. When they were talking and maybe about they'll, it. You know, that if I was Google, that would be a drum that I would beat of, like, hey. So this is what's happening with Destiny 2, our free game of the month for November. If you've already got it on, if you have, like, the Xbox version, and if you're playing on console or PC, oh man, look at the size of that update. Good news. Log into your Bungie account on through Stadia, and it's just ready to go.
Yeah, because you should be able to.
With all of your stuff.
Yep, all your characters and everything.
We're not going to mention that your friends also have to be on Stadia as well, so talk them into buying it too. But hey, you could. It's possible.
Because, that's super appealing. So, yeah, either way, Destiny 2.
2021, I'll see you online, buddy.
Well, I mean, Stadia Premium, like, you don't have to buy anything to jump in there. Like, if you
$10 and use a Bluetooth Xbox One controller. Then play it on your computer monitor.
Really?
Yep.
And then you can get, and you don't even have to do a Bluetooth adapter or anything like that. You can just hardwire your Xbox
controller. The only thing is you have to keep that subscription going because their games are pretty, it's like Xbox, PS Plus. or Games with Gold, where you have that forever as long as your subscription is good. So once, if you only pay the $10 one month and then you jump on next month, you won't be able to play Destiny.
Right, right. But okay, so it is a $10 a month subscription.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not
bad. I thought Destiny, like, is that just for, like, being a premium member? Because I thought that was, like, free for founders.
I'm not sure. The way, my understanding is it was a, is it, they were lumping it in with the founders. Yeah. But it was going to be the, like, if you end up when it launches in November and you buy the pro membership, that was the, because they're going to do, they're doing a game a month. And it just, it, it sounded like Destiny was the November game.
Okay. After the month, are you unable to play the game? play the game anymore? Or is it like Xbox Live, where it's Xbox games of gold?
It's games of gold.
Like, you just get to keep it
as long as you're
paying for it.
As long as you're paying for the subscription, you get all of those games.
All the backlog games.
Yep.
That were free.
Okay,
that's cool.
All the backlog games that you had when you had a subscription.
Right.
So if you pick it up for November, drop it in December, pick it back up in January, you're not going to have the two games. You're only going to have the one from November that you had.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then they did say that the like, there's a free version of Stadia as well that will just do 1080p streaming, and you still have to buy the games. Obviously, you don't get the free game. And I imagine, because I actually meant to look this up a while ago, and I've completely forgotten until just this moment. like, if it was one of those things, like, where Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus is required to play online with your friends, I don't know if that's required for the Stadia Premium membership.
Hmm.
They haven't said anything, but I don't think it is.
Because that would be kind of cool. Like, in other words, like, you just buy the game, and you just get to play the game, like, on Stadia with your friends. You just don't get to watch it in 4K. Mm-hmm. Which,
yeah, which I don't have a 4K TV, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I mean, like,
Yeah.
So, like, it's...
I'll be watching the Stadia thing that you guys keep talking about.
That might also be something that they address more concretely.
Right, right.
Next Monday.
Okay. So, yeah, on from Destiny and Stadia here. We got the last little bit of thing I want to talk about here. We got some Call of Duty news. They mostly talked about the Ground War mode, which apparently is just going to be straight Battlefield. So I know Kevin Schenkelberg is listening to this. He's probably pretty excited about it. He did text me after we talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. He will totally get Call of Duty and play it with us if we're grabbing it on Xbox.
Aww. That comes out in October.
That's going to be a rough time period.
That's going to be a rough.
Man, you guys are going to be busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the big thing is, like, I don't know if I'm definitely not going to be done with Borderlands 3 by the time Call of Duty comes out.
Nope.
No.
Not a chance.
But it's that thing of, like, if I don't get it early, I won't have that stretch that I'm good.
No, we just have to get it around Christmas.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, the Christmas kitties.
We have to get it right before Christmas. See, so that we have, like, that week... like, or that 2 weeks post Christmas where we're way better than all these scrubs.
That's actually something that I kind of thought about with, like, with the timing of everything coming out, of just like, maybe I wait for it to go on Black Friday.
Yep, that's kind of what I'm thinking with Call of Duty.
Unless, like,
around
the reviews come out and it's, like, you know, as groundbreaking and awesome as they want it to be.
Because I know Black Ops 4 we were so ridiculously hyped for.
Mm-hmm.
But that was also, like, the only game that season that I was really hyped for.
Yeah, and it also then turned into a, which it turned into, we didn't know it was going to, but now that it's the same company doing it, a microtransaction nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with no season pass sale on this one?
This one's Infinity Ward still. Like, Treyarch has taken the next one.
Oh, is it? I thought Treyarch was stepping in on this one.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, this one's Infinity Ward. And then, yeah, Treyarch. But it also normally would have been
Activision.
Yeah, well.
So
it normally would have been Sledgehammer for the one after this one. But that one's going to be the Treyarch game,
one. Okay.
Which, yeah, it obviously did Black Ops 4. So anyway, the point is, so yeah, we got Ground War mode, 64 player with player piloted vehicles on huge maps.
Yes, please.
So yeah, very, very much that, like, Battlefield style gameplay, but with Call of Duty mechanics. So yeah, no, I actually might enjoy that a little bit.
That just sounds like war mode from World War II.
Sort of.
Spawn, die immediately, not be able to progress in any meaningful way.
That sounds like my experience in most first-person shooters.
But Ground War is usually, like, it's still objective-based, but it's more like five-point capture, as opposed to, go through these phases and complete the scenario, if that makes sense.
Kind of. I still just want to play the regular multiplayer and gunfight. Gunfight sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
But
Gunfight does sound kind of neat. Also, They did confirm that this game will have dedicated servers.
Shouldn't be news.
It should not be.
Really shouldn't be news.
I'm really sad that it is news, but regardless. I'm
very happy that it's happening.
That's like, very happy that it's
happening.
It's
like calling my boss and telling him I'm going to wear pants tomorrow.
That should be.
I shouldn't have to make that call. That should be a given.
Uh-huh. But here we are.
Here we are.
Well, good for them.
You buy this new car, I'll throw in the tires.
That shouldn't be a thing you have to ask for. Asking for your drink in liquid form. It's a Parks and Rec reference for
shouldn't
those out there
that specify.
Missed that one.
You'd be surprised.
All right. So that's I guess the last little thing I wanted to mention. I do want to throw a quick shout out to Borderlands 3, the Amara and Flack trailers, the character trailers hit, and also the Pokemon news hit, and it's dumb.
I get the idea of Team Yell being like soccer hooligans because it's in Europe. The thing that I hate is that it's, okay, guys, we can't use all of the Pokemon because look at the high-quality sprites that we have to use. Also, in the trailer for our new team, we're going to show 3 character models. And everyone else is including 2 doing the exact same animations at the exact same time. Also, someone decided that Kiss needs to be a Pokemon.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of dumb stuff with it. Also, like, Team Yell are, specifically, they're one of your rivals' fans. Like, they are literally, like, one of your rivals is Marnie, and Team Yell are her wild fans.
No, thank you. Ugh.
It's so silly. I get that it's one of those things. At this point, this game is no, like, it Pokemon hasn't been targeted towards me in a long time, like, specifically. But I've still been able to enjoy it because, it's Pokemon and everything. Like,
it's like 50% nostalgia.
Yeah. At this point, like, this game is not even in the slightest bit targeted in my direction. Like, Pokemon is finally missing me entirely.
That's good. That'll clear up your gaming log for better stuff.
Yeah. No, and I'm fine with it. Like, I'm a little bummed. But I'm fine with it. I know there's a lot of people, especially like the younger audience, that are super excited for this game.
And great. Be excited.
Yes.
Be good, young and excited.
Good for them. Like, I'm very happy that this will work out great for
you. Enjoy this now because life is going to get harder for you.
Just if someday your favorite game is, or one of your favorite games is going to do you wrong.
It's going to.
Real quick. I know we're done. But so reading through the story about the ESA and the loot box odds, I've found my new favorite tweet.
Oh boy.
So for background, the Entertainment Software Association Chief Counsel of Tech Policy announced that at the Federal Trade Commission's Inside the Game Workshop, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo are all now working on policies to require loot box odds be disclosed on their systems. It would be a platform-wide policy. In the means of just like, okay, so Overwatch, you have a 7.3% chance of getting a legendary item out of a loot box. Like something like that. But that's going to be well advertised so people know the odds of what they're pumping money into.
Which has actually been a law in Japan for a while. Like any of those gacha games, you were legally required to show the appearance rates.
Right, which it's not going to be law. This is kind of a self-regulated thing.
Self-regulate so we don't
to make
get
sure
regulated.
That we don't actually get to the point where a law becomes necessary. Yeah. So in this article, they also mentioned that a number of publishers have pledged to, you know what, we will conform with whatever they say, but we're going to do it on our own as well. And they list a list of publishers that have agreed to this, blah, blah, blah. Then they also say some notable ESA member publishers who haven't made such a commitment include, and they name drop a bunch of companies, including THQ Nordic. Second update. THQ Nordic has posted a statement on Twitter. THQ Nordic and THQ Nordic Incorporated have not made a commitment on loot box odds disclosure because A, we have not been asked to by the ESA for a statement ahead of their publication. B, we currently do not have a single game with loot box mechanics published. And C, we do not plan to implement casino-styled mechanics in our games.
Good on you, THQ Nordic.
Well so, played.
That's one of those, it's like, yeah, your Destroy All Humans Collector's Edition are ridiculously overpriced. But now I'm a little bit closer just because I want to support you guys. Like, good for you.
Fairness, that $400 one, I wonder if that was ignorant. I wonder if that was a GameStop exclusive.
I don't know.
Similar to like how the Borderlands Super Edition was a GameStop exclusive.
Yeah.
And it was really just them throwing some Think Geek stuff in there and charging you $300. Yeah, no, that sounds right to me. All right,
yep.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Remember to tell a friend, and we'll see you next time.
Woo!